going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good morning. Hour number three begins. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:07, and your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. One of your top stories, New Jersey wildfire uncontained. Part of the Garden State Parkway has been shut down. Thousands have been asked to evacuate. We'll have more on that probably a little bit later this morning. But right now, we've got our special guest, Congresswoman Kat Kamick, on the line. And good morning, Congresswoman. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning, fellas in the Gator Nation.
Right on. Hey, what did you do to irritate a bunch of people? You had protesters at your office, and they were not happy.
Oh, bless their hearts. you know, it's just we live in this era of entertainment where people feel like they have to scream and yell and whatnot to get attention and notice. And every Friday, our office is protested, and you know we take water bottles out to protesters. Our team, you know, talks to folks. I've met with many of the protesters, and this last Friday, they supposedly left a bunch of letters, but actually they didn't. It got so big that apparently, you know, TV20 ran a story about it. But imagine our shock and surprise when the letters weren't there. So they delivered them yesterday, and it was about 1,000 of them. And on the box, it said, you know, please listen to us, and they were demanding a response. Now, of course, we always respond to our constituents as best we possibly can. In fact, we've received and responded to 500,000 emails, phone calls, and messages.
Wow.
To date. Yeah, we have quite an entire system designed just to do that. And so we get these letters, and I pour them out on the couch in the office, and I start opening them and reading them. Not one of them had contact information to respond to these folks. And I'm like, do you want a response, or do you just want to yell? And, you know, that's the thing is, you know, for everybody listening, if you reach out to our office, please give us a way to contact you back, a phone number, an email, snail mail, you know, a mailing address. It's tough to get you a response if we have no way to actually get in touch with you. And so that was just, I thought, a little bit curious that people demand responses but then give us no way to get
And then
back
you kind of wonder, even though they demanded a response, did they really want one? Maybe not.
No. I mean, and the letters, you know, a lot of them were dealing with state issues that I have no jurisdiction over, so we'll forward those letters on to our state counterparts. But, you know, and then there's things, it's just a lot of hatred for President Trump and Elon Musk. And sure, people absolutely can leave us their opinion, and they don't have to get a response. They can tell us, you know, I don't want a response. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would prefer, and as I think most common sense Americans would, to have a conversation. Let's have a constructive, productive conversation. But it seems more and more like people just want to yell.
Yeah, it's really not the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, or 90s anymore. It's a different world. Hey, I know you've got a good working relationship with some of the FEMA stuff, and you're on board with all that.
Yeah.
Give us the latest progress.
Yeah, so as we know, FEMA has been a disaster for years and years and years. And, you know, last week, this week, I've been meeting nonstop with constituents. A lot of them are still trying to navigate the bureaucracy of FEMA. And so what I will tell you is across the board, everyone is fed up with FEMA. They're just to the point where they don't even want to deal with them. I know it's frustrating, but I would encourage anyone who's still trying to get answers from FEMA to keep after it. Because what's happening right now is the new administrator, Cam Hamilton, he and President Trump are taking the entire FEMA system down to the studs and building a survivor-focused process first, meaning everything that you do in terms of applying for assistance, needing information, you'll have it at your fingertips. And instead of waiting days, months, sometimes even years for answers from the agency, you'll have it in hours and at worst days. And so they're really trying to revamp the entire system. So that is coming. Our goal is to make sure that that is in place before hurricane season starts. But I would just say to anyone who is dealing with FEMA or any federal agency, I know how much of a pain in the neck it is, but our office is here to work for you guys. We open and close cases all day long. So let us bird dog some of these bureaucrats down for folks, and we can get you answers. Doesn't matter if it's IRS, VA, Social Security, doesn't matter. We work for everybody.
What about the IRS? What's the latest there?
Well, much like FEMA, the IRS is always a hot mess. You know, they still have semi-truckloads of tax returns from years past that they have not processed. And that is not an exaggeration. That is actually literally true. They have semi-trucks that they rent that our taxpayers pay for. Because not everyone electronically files. So they're still a couple years behind in processing. If you're dealing with the IRS and they've been holding on to like a 2019, 2020, 2021 return, please call us, because as we know, the acting administrator just resigned. We're in the process of, again, streamlining the agency, because what we saw under the previous administration was 80,000 new IRS agents that weren't being onboarded to help process returns. They were hired to audit working class folks. And so we're in the process of dismantling that incredibly destructive policy of the last administration and making it so that it's your money. The government should not be holding on to that money. And we're working with our Senate counterparts to make sure that Billy Long gets confirmed as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's interesting and ironic. Get the paperwork done, get that done. But Biden wanted it all about enforcement and audit. The borders, I always thought, would be about, if you're Border Patrol, you're enforcing the border. But under Biden, it was process the paperwork. It's so funny how they, switched those two around.
Yep, that's a great point. You know, I spoke to one of our Border Patrol agents last night. He's in the Tucson sector. And he talked about how different it is, just absolute night and day difference. Whereas before, like you said, Bob, the mantra and the mission for Border Patrol under the previous administration was being a welcoming committee and process these people into the country, parole them, as the Biden administration liked to label it, parole them into the country as fast as possible. Now, you actually are seeing Border Patrol get resources and the backing they need. We're down 97% in illegal border crossing, 97%. And so that's where the interior enforcement is so important and getting people out of the country who never should have been here in the first place.
So,
a lot of work.
When are you leaving for El Salvador? Aren't you going like with all the other lawmakers?
Oh, you know, it wasn't really high on my priority list to join the MS-13 caucus.
So, in other words, you're focusing a lot of your energy on the American citizens?
I know it's shocking when we say America first. We literally mean America first, not El Salvador or, you know, these very violent criminal gangs. It is absolutely mind-blowing to me that these representatives, these senators, are traveling on taxpayer dollars down to take better care of violent predators, sexual predators, hardened criminals, gang members, MS-13 gang members. They spend more time and effort with them than they do the homeless veterans in their district.
Yeah, and when you talk about, they talk about due process. There was no due process. And when you ask them, you go, well, let's just say we could get the guy back. What do you think the due process should be? They will not answer that question. That's bizarre.
Yeah. I think at this point, they're paying for tattoo removal because, you know, those pesky MS-13 tattoos on their hands and faces, kind of a dead giveaway, right?
Right. All right. Congresswoman, always appreciate your time. Keep in touch with us and stay safe, and we look to hear from you soon.
I appreciate it. Have a great week, everybody. Go Gators.
All right. Congresswoman Kat Kamick on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And coming up, RFK Jr., Making America Healthy with Real Actions. And I've got a code word for you from Rock to Country Tickets. Don't go anywhere. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Another awesome day. Welcome to it, my friends. It is 8:22 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Making America healthy again. We'll get to that, but first, we're going to make America party and rock and roll again, baby. We're talking about giving away tickets to Rock the Country, Kid Rock, Hank Jr., Nickelback, Tracy Lawrence, and a lot more. Ocala, May 9th and 10th. You want ticks? They're on sale now at rockcountry.com. Or you could win them. Two-day tickets go for $139 each. GA Plus tickets, $289 each. But you have a chance right now to win if you text the word ROCK to 20357. That's R-O-C-K, ROCK, to 20357. And you'll have a shot of winning some tickets, and it's going to be an awesome show. Yep, Rock the Country, a festival for we the people. Right now, text ROCK to 20357 for your two-day tickets. Data and message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., not just talking about, but taking action, getting food dyes, ones that are petroleum-based, out of our foods. We've talked about this for a long time. And that is, why does Europe and Canada have higher standards for what's allowed in their foods? Why would we be any lesser than that? If anything, I don't know. I would think since we are America, we are exceptional. You know, if you believe in American exceptionalism, why aren't we following through with our food products? Now, I get it initially. I thought, right, well, it's a cost thing. They're putting the cheap dyes in there to keep the cost down. Allegedly, it was said, I believe, on the behind the podium yesterday by one of the experts that it should not be more costly. Now, it's going to take time for them to kind of switch over, if you will. But here's the deal. 8 harmful petroleum-based synthetic dyes. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. In fact, mm-hmm. I literally just finished one with a little bit of milk right here. Oh, I didn't finish my milk. Mm. I like peanut butter and jelly. I don't like peanut butter and Vaseline. Petroleum Ooh. Jelly. Yeah.
No.
Does that sound good?
Not a bit, no.
But there's a little of that petroleum in a whole lot of dyes, apparently. Well, they're going to be phased out now from the American food supply. These plans were unveiled yesterday. And in the coming months, the FDA will revoke authorization for 2 synthetic food colorings, citrus red number 2 and orange B. Now, if I saw on the label citrus red number 2, honestly, I would think that it was derived from citrus.
Right.
But how silly I would have been.
Well, because the key is they all throw that number behind them, which is like, okay, well, what What does that really mean?
And they've been using like naturally occurring, you know, food dyes for years in other places. It just doesn't seem to be a... Now, here's the thing. Will you get the vivid kind of coloring that we've had here in our foods? And the answer is probably not. I mean, that's real. We have the bright colors, you know, Skittles and Fruit Loops. And But here's the thing. And maybe it's just me because I'm weird. But when I would eat something that was so vividly colored, it was almost automatic. Like, I know this is not going to taste like it's supposed to. In other words, the more vibrant the color, the more artificial it would generally taste.
Okay. I got that. I get you.
And I mean, I kind of, that was just sort of an instinctual thing I developed when I was younger. It didn't stop me from eating Fruit Loops, by the way. But, there was something inherently wrong, like I've eaten...
You know it's fake. It's a chemical. It's not real. You know it's not really fruit in those loops. Just saying.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You knew.
Anyway, but he's going to work with the food industry and remove six other synthetic dyes. And, you know, he said, look, for the last 50 years, actually, this is one of the guys from the FDA, the commissioner, Marty Macri. And he said, for the last 50 years, American children have increasingly been living in a toxic soup of synthetic chemicals. Nobody wants to live in no toxic soup.
Oh, no. Well, here's the question, though. And again, I guess it all comes down to money. We've known for decades this is an agenda to get rid of these things. Why haven't the manufacturers already been working on an alternative so that when this day comes, they're ready to make the change and do the right thing?
I can't source it exactly, but apparently somebody did try to do the right thing with I believe it was a breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
And the colors were not as bright or whatever, and the sales went down significantly, I guess.
Right.
So they brought it back in. They put chemicals back in.
Yum.
If they want to add petroleum, like, you know, a parent or whatever, like, feel like they're missing out.
Yeah.
If they want to eat petroleum, they can add it themselves. But we shouldn't be feeding it to the rest of us without our knowledge or consent. That's what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said yesterday. So good, making America healthy again. It's going to take a lot of actions, a lot of steps, but at least we're moving finally in the right direction. 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got ourselves a happy hump day, Trump Day, and you never have to miss a minute of the show. Download the Bob Rose Show podcast wherever you normally get your podcast. Click on subscribe, and you'll get it. 97.3 The Sky. Hey, happy birthday to the original Wild Bill.
Who's that?
Not Hickok, the original Wild Bill?
Yeah.
Shakespeare, man.
Oh,
where you been?
He wrote some stuff. Oh, yeah.
The great English dramatist and poet William Shakespeare was to be.
And he was.
Yeah, on this day.
And he became very famous.
He was to be.
Yes.
They believe as best they can. They use some church records. They think they got it nailed down pretty good.
Yeah.
That William Shakespeare was born in Stratford-upon-Avon, April 23rd, 1564.
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. Yeah. It's pretty cool when, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are still reading your writings, doing your doing plays and things like that.
That is.
Quite an influence there. Yeah, it says...
One of the original influencers.
Says that he was baptized on April 26th. 3 days was a customary amount of time back in the day to wait before baptizing a newborn. Huh. So they're not positive, but
close enough.
Close we're going to get, and it's, you know, the thought that counts. And
close enough for poetry.
Yes. He was known as a London playwright in 1592. It's just...
I know.
When you say that.
I know. Do the math.
It's long enough ago when you say 1992, and you'd be 400 years off.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what an influence. Mm-hmm. Old Wild Bill. Okay, never went by that, but thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah.
because we do what we want on a happy hump day, Trump day. Larry David. This guy was funny.
Well, he's very talented.
Wasn't he part of the whole Seinfeld thing, the co-creator?
He's very talented.
Curb Your Enthusiasm, which was funny, but I still can only take him in doses.
No, I get that.
He's like obnoxious and funny, but after a while, it feels like the more obnoxious part starts to rub you the wrong way. Why are you looking at me like that? Oh, how dare you? I thought for sure when I referenced William Shakespeare that you would give me that look. The kettle in the pot look. But instead, no. It's for Larry David?
But he is a talented guy.
Yeah, well, he was. And the reason I say that, like, that is, what happens
when you're
a lefty.
Yes.
It's really hard to find humor when you're not a happy person. And that's what we find a lot of them have in common.
Yeah, their agenda gets all mixed in with their talent. And unfortunately, it's like, really?
Yeah. And it stifles their creative energy.
Yeah.
So anyway, he took a shot at Bill Maher. Comedian Bill Maher, you know, with this HBO show and all that.
And we thought Bill Maher had a great, and it's worth going back and watching, and you can find it on YouTube, had a great recap of what his experience was like hanging out with Donald Trump. And he put it out there whether his fans liked it or not.
Oh, and he did get a bunch of very angry, negative, and in many cases, downright hateful feedback and blowback from that. And you know, well, he made the mistake. You know what he did? He actually told the truth.
Yeah,
and gave a first-person accounting of the Donald Trump that he met.
Mm-hmm. He said, whether you like it or not, I was there, and this is what happened. This is who he is.
So Larry David, using his powers of satire, does an op-ed for the New York Times titled, are you ready for this?
Oh,
and remember, he's taking a shot at Bill Maher.
Okay.
My Dinner with Adolf.
Ugh.
Remember, Larry David's Jewish, okay?
Yeah. Of all people who should know, you don't go there.
Number one, you don't go there. Number two, it makes you look like a complete buffoon because nobody, really no president ever in our history has been a better friend to Israel.
Right.
What part of that do you not understand? Are you still in denial of that? He's nothing like a Hitler in any way.
Yeah.
You want to call him an authoritarian, nothing could be further from the truth. He's not the one that wants to squelch free speech. He's not the one that wants to, creep in on our Second Amendment. That's all coming from the left. So he writes this stupid piece, My Dinner with Adolf. He describes a fantasy scenario of him meeting with Adolf Hitler and other Nazi leaders for a friendly and cordial dinner, as if to say that Maher had been duped. He never mentions Bill Maher or Trump by name.
Well,
did you have to?
No.
David begins writing that, quote, no one I knew encouraged me to go visit Hitler after he had been critical of the despot since the beginning. David also characterizes Maher's desire to speak with more right-leaning people with essentially cuddling up to the Nazis. That,
oh my goodness.
Tell me you don't have Trump derangement syndrome when you think that having a conversation with somebody on the right is like collaborating with the Nazis.
Do they really not remember? I mean, especially being Jewish, do you really not remember history very well?
Apparently not.
And you think you're seeing that all over again somehow?
You take the world's greatest villain and the worst atrocities committed by man, and you try to somehow connect that to our current president.
Because you don't like his views.
How?
Really?
Flippin' shameful that is. Just, it's gross.
And you're supposed to be smart people.
Yeah, I'm not even going to go any further. You know,
it's crazy. It just is crazy.
Yeah. And if anybody should be upset when there's a reference to Nazis or Hitler or whatever, and they're trying to push it toward Donald Trump, who should be outraged the most, actually, should be Jewish Americans.
Yeah.
He's looked out for your brothers and sisters and cousins more than any other president, by far. Mm-hmm. Well, they yep. called him a racist, and he gave more money during his 4 years to historically black colleges than any other president, more than right. any other president ever did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, including Barry, King Barry.
Oh.
All right. Wow. The El Salvadoran president, he's probably getting a little tired of the visits that keep coming from the Democrats.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he took to social media to roast Representative Maxwell Frost, Democrat out of Florida, one of the lawmakers who had taken time off his job to travel to El Salvador to advocate for the release of deported illegal migrants. And the president of El Salvador recently entered a historic deal with the U.S. to house suspected members of criminal terrorist gangs, TDA, MS-13. They've been deported from the U.S., etc. Frost, a far-left anti-gun activist who became the first-generation Z member of Congress in 2023, traveled to El Salvador with other Democrats on Monday to pressure the Trump administration to retrieve Kilmer Abrego Garcia. Retrieve him? Okay. He's deported.
Yeah.
He's a citizen of El Salvador.
Where he's at, yes.
So you he's want home. Us to go into a sovereign nation, one that we appear to have a pretty good relationship with,
uh-huh.
and just take one of their citizens because... What would you tell them?
Well, you know, we have a political agenda here at the left in America, and you know, we're kind of trying to ruin our own country. So, you know, if you could give your gang member back to us, so we can take him back home with us, that'd be really great.
You know, have you ever heard of having a trial in absentia? In other words, mm-hmm. the person's absent.
Yes,
you could do that.
Sure.
Would that satisfy the left?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But even if he was here physically, they won't even tell you what they think, quote-unquote, due process is in this case.
Mm-hmm.
You want him to go before yet another judge?
Well, like the first two weren't good enough?
The first two okay. said deport, deport. Now you want to go in front of another judge? And you know what they want to do. They want to set the precedent of each individual
yep.
getting what they call a due process, knowing that'll literally clog up the courts for 100 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
It really would.
Would.
But, yeah.
They don't
so
care. They don't
why not
care.
Just do like a trial in absentia and see what happens? Despite the Department of Homeland Security corroborating decisions by two different immigration judges that Garcia is a member of the violent Salvadoran gang and the fact that his American citizen wife accused him of viciously beating her, Frost and his colleagues have demanded his release from that prison. Okay. Yeah. Definitely.
These people.
Time to move along. The Democrats... And the more desperate they get, the worse their decisions seem to be.
How can you keep getting more and more anti-American when you're supposed to represent Americans?
I don't know. You should ask Rosie O'Donnell.
Ugh.
Yeah. Said, it was time for me and my non-binary child to leave America. She knows the kid's non-binary?
Hmm.
How's that work?
I don't know.
I don't really want to know.
No.
We'll take a look at the story. We've got other things on our list that we want to get to as well. So stick with us. 8:45 right now. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Oh, the sun is shining. Another awesome day. Welcome. Thanks for taking the time to spend a little time with us. We appreciate that. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:51. I'll just do this quick. Rosie O'Donnell was on CNN. Does anybody not know that she left and moved to Ireland because Donald Trump became president? Does anybody not know that?
That's pretty common news,
I think. Would the purpose be of continuing to give her some sort of a spotlight? Is she now Look, if she's good for ratings for CNN, which I don't know, watching paint dry might be good for their ratings comparatively, but why would you put her on? What does she have to say that you know, that would make anybody think? I mean, is she additive in any way? And I'm asking the question. Maybe she does. Mm. But
is she relevant anymore, though? I mean, except for this topic, what is she relevant
for? She wants to be relevant. Otherwise, if she just wanted to live her life in peace, hey, I don't want anything to do with the U.S. For a while, you know, that monster is the president. Okay, you're entitled to that thought. And at least, you know, unlike so many other lefties with big mouths that said they were going to do it, she actually backed it up and did it. So kudos for that part of it. But then why do you have to continually try to get on the airwaves and... you know, to where Americans are watching this because you want to stay relevant. There's still a part of you. You need some attention, I guess. But why they give it to her, I don't know. I mean, it's not like she's camera friendly, and I really don't mean that in an ugly way. It's just it is what it is. I mean, you know what I mean? You're not putting on a princess or something. You're not putting on a supermodel. So I don't know. All this is, to me, is old. I have no regrets. Not a day has gone by that I thought it was the wrong decision. She said all that before. Now, this time she did add, just, it was time for me and my non-binary child to leave the country.
Why is that relevant?
I have no idea, but why she had to include it or what?
Oh, it's all part of more agenda. That's it.
But isn't saying non-binary a way of saying I don't want to refer to a single gender?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So then wouldn't it be simpler to say it's time for me and my child to leave the country? Why did she have... Isn't she labeling something that the whole purpose of that being a word or a thought is to not label? Non-binary.
Right.
But I have to label my child to show you that, I'm one of those wokey people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she says all kinds of silly things. I knew if I was in the U.S. and watched him, meaning Trump, destroy the country and the Constitution and really pay no mind to any of the laws that the founders stood by, do you think the founders would have been okay with 8 to 20 million illegals crossing into our borders? I think that would have been dealt with for what they would see it as, an invasion, not respecting our borders. But she doesn't quite understand that. Yeah, she says, you know, our founders stood by and that our country stands or as a beacon of shining light and freedom for the rest of the world. Well, we are.
We are. Mm-hmm.
You think Trump is going to change that, though? He's going to make us somehow less free by what? Lowering our taxes? That makes me feel actually a little bit more free.
But Bobby might make people disappear.
Well, if they're illegal gang members that are violent that you're talking about, I think as part of my freedom, I would want them gone so that I can enjoy my freedom without being, you know, raped and murdered and crashed into by a 22nd time DUI.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, she mentions that Project 25 stuff. But they'll never acknowledge whatever that the UN thing, I don't know what they call it now, but basically, forcing migrants into our country was part of it. So, yeah, I mean, Rosie, you want your little quiet life in the Irish countryside. You made enough money to be able to do that and enjoy that.
Keep quiet.
I didn't hold it against you, yeah.
That's right. Keep it quiet.
Just shut one of the biggest, fattest, ugliest pie holes that I've ever seen.
Just ask Donald Trump. He'll tell her.
That's right. He has told her. Thailand's Department of Special Investigation, DSI, don't know if they're going to have a TV show soon, but it's possible.
With letters like that, they should.
They have arrested Zhang Xuanling.
Didn't even know what they're looking for.
You don't know Zhang?
No.
An executive with a corporation called China Railway No. 10 Limited,
as part of a wide-ranging investigation into the collapse of a Chinese-built skyscraper during an earthquake in Bangkok late March.
That was bad.
33-story administrative building was the only structure to collapse in Bangkok. The only one.
Wow.
During the magnitude 7.7 earthquake that struck actually Myanmar and Thailand, the building, which was still under construction, came down in a matter of minutes, killing at least 47 people immediately and trapping dozens of construction workers in the debris. Ugh. 47 construction workers remain unaccounted for at press time. That is not good. Yeah. So maybe there'll be some accountability in this case. Let's hope so.
Yeah, that was really sad.
The 9 o'clock stretch is coming up. And remember, the Bob Rose Show podcast is available wherever you normally get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, or the Odyssey app. Yeah, and you just click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. I might as well give your code word out. I'm feeling generous. Text ROCK to 20357. That's ROCK to 20357 for a pair of two-day tickets to Rock the Country. Message and data rates may apply. Good luck. 9 o'clock stretch is next.